This is Continuum Drag, a podcast where we watch sci-fi, fantasy, and everything in between. This week, RoboCop, episode 1 and 2.
The last image the deceased saw is often preserved on the back of the retina.
Wait a sec, you mean we might be able to ID old Hank's murderer?
Unless his eyes were looking someplace else. Then you got nothing.
Welcome to Continuum Drag, the podcast adopting a small orphan child as a sidekick. I'm Luke, here with my co-host Jordan. What's real, Jordan?
Yeah, I was really afraid at the end of the episode. I was like, oh no, that little kid's not going to be a recurring character, are they? And then I looked into it. They are. They're going to be a recurring character. I don't know why shows are so desperate for that.
Jordan, this is the first time I've ever seen a show where they're like, we need to add a small kid character. And they're like, wait, no, we need to add two small kid characters who don't know each other.
Hold on, who are the two small kid characters? Oh, the son, you think?
The son is definitely coming back as well.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right, yeah.
Anyway, we'll get into it, won't we?
Yeah.
Because we're starting RoboCop, the TV series, from 1994 this week. Mm-hmm. Of course, not to be confused with the 2001 RoboCop Prime Directives or the other two animated series about RoboCop.
Yeah, it's companies have really felt this was material worth mining, huh?
Well, I know you're a big RoboCop fan, so I'm sure you'll have some history with him. I was thinking about it this week, and I was just like, I think I saw the first RoboCop as a child at a very negligent neighbor's home.
Yeah.
They brought the kids over and put on RoboCop, and I remember just like having to walk out because it was too gruesome for me. But I'm not sure I've seen the whole thing or any of the sequels.
It's funny you say that because I think, because we're the same age, and I think people roughly around our age, that seems to be the same or similar story that most people have, is like they were at a friend's house, that friend's parents were a little more lax, RoboCop was
they were
on,
going through divorce, like, dad wanted to impress the kids.
Exactly, because like my mom wouldn't let me watch RoboCop. I did the same. I know exactly who it was, whose friend was at the time that I went and watched it at their house. It was the same thing. It was just like their parents were like, anyways, you guys go to the basement, I'll see you in 3 hours, you know.
You've seen all the sequels, though, right?
I have. Although I saw them, I saw RoboCop 2 when I was probably a teenager, and it was not very good. And then I saw the third one a few years ago for the first time, as I was like, hey, I should watch the trilogy, you know, get the full impact. Not surprisingly, each one gets a little bit worse. The second one has at least, like, some redeeming qualities. The third one's just like, what is this trash?
How long does Peter Weller stick it out?
He's in the second one as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, and I can't remember the actress's name who plays his partner, who's not in this TV show. She's in all three, and they unceremoniously kill her in the third one.
Oof. That's what she gets for showing loyalty to the RoboCop franchise.
Exactly. Well, it's funny. As we're kind of talking about this franchise, so this was owned by Orion. Orion, I don't know why I said that weirdly. The film company who... It's funny, I started looking into it because I remember, and I don't know if you do, but in the early 90s, they were sort of, they had their like famous bankruptcy for a movie company, and they sort of were selling off the rights to all their things. But I was looking at their track record in the 80s, and they were like, they were killing it. They had like several Oscar winner movies and huge blockbuster hits. So I don't know what was happening financially, why this company couldn't stay afloat, but it seemed like everything was happening that you'd want for a small production company. You know what I mean? Like, prestige awards and hit movies, but still there was no money.
You suspect financial malfeasance?
Well, I don't know. I'd like to see the books, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, open those books, Orion.
But I only mentioned that because that's how this show came about. So Orion sold the rights to RoboCop for $500,000. And the funny thing I saw was that it said, instead of making RoboCop 4, they sold it for $500,000. I was like, that was your only two options? Was making RoboCop 4 or $500,000? And I was like, what other rights do they see sell? And the only other thing I could find was they also sold the rights to the Addams Family at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they missed the boat on the Addams Family.
Yeah, it looks like that. Or they sold the rights to it. Then the company was like, hey, let's make the Addams Family. This is ripe for the picking. The kids are loving this nostalgic of the 60s sitcoms.
Hey, those first two Addams Families, they really cook.
Yeah, that's right. I liked them as a kid.
I think they hold up.
They probably do. So that's how this show came about. It literally was like this company that bought it, Sky Vision Entertainment, was just like, yeah, we'll make a show. We'll buy the rights to it. And this pilot we're going to watch is based on an unused script for RoboCop 2. It was one of the scripts they were like, no, this is not very good. Let's not make it. And they're like, you know what? It's already written.
I did see that as well. I did think it was very funny. Did you see somewhere in the trivia that it was released, I think, in Spain as RoboCop 4?
Oh, I didn't know.
So it's both RoboCop 2 and RoboCop 4.
It's funny because the only other thing I'll say about this sale by Orion and the characters is, and I don't exactly know how this works. Maybe you know better than I do. Some of the character names have been changed because of rights issues, but I'm not exactly sure why, because it's not, it's like almost everyone but RoboCop, their names had to be changed. I'm like, what, did, because the actors had some sort of stake in it? I wasn't sure how that worked, but that's why instead of, so we have now Lisa Madigan instead of Murphy's partner from the movies.
Whose name you remember perfectly.
Oh, man, I know. I can't. It's just, as soon as we start recording, I can't remember anything.
My guess would be that perhaps RoboCop, the concept, was not created by the writers who wrote the movie, but they were the creators of the other characters who were like involved. Like maybe someone came and said, write a movie about a RoboCop, and then they invented the rest of the characters, so they technically own the rights to those characters. It's sort of like, Do you remember Star Trek Voyager, how the actor who plays Tom Paris is also the actor who plays he's in TNG for an episode where he's like a cadet who gets out for going dangerous, and the character was written to be that character, but then they realized they'd always have to pay the writer of that episode over and over and over again because he created the character, so they just renamed him, but he's the same character.
Oh yeah, you're probably right, that's what it was. And it's of course Nancy Allen who played Anne Lewis in the three movies. Although one last thing is that apparently this is supposed to take place 4 to 5 years after the first movie, ignoring all the sequels.
The sequels aren't canon.
Yeah. So RoboCop will not fly because he flies in the third RoboCop movie.
Well, that's too bad, actually.
He gets a jetpack.
Big mistake not keeping that jetpack.
Well, instead he gets a little kid character that's going to run around and be like, ain't I a scamp?
Well, Jordan, RoboCop ran in syndication from March 14th to November 21st, 1994. And during that period of time, Jordan, there were three TV series we've watched before. Do you want to take guess what those three might have been?
What was that? I already know how bad this is for someone to listen to and listen to me struggle through it. What was the show where the guy went back in time? He was like a cool dude.
Time Cop.
Is it Time Cop?
I mean, that's one of them.
Nice. Yeah, that. I'd say Forever Night.
Oh, are you asking me, was it Time Cop? Or are you asking me, was that the title of the show?
Yeah, was it Time Cop?
No, it was not Time Cop.
Oh, Forever Night?
Forever Night's correct. It was season 2 of Forever Night was on.
And how many other series? 2 more series?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't think Tech War was on yet. What was on in 92?
It's 94.
Oh, 94. Yeah, Tech War. Tech War had to be on.
It was not Tech War.
Okay, what was it? I don't know.
It was seasons 1 and 2 of Sequest, DSV.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right?
And Earth 2 was the other one.
Earth 2? Really? It was that early, huh?
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? I would say all three of those. Maybe Forever Night not. Maybe Forever Night's more RoboCop style. But really nice to see the quality being so drastically different.
Yeah, that's true. Well, talking about the quality of this is a bit of a mixed bag, don't you think?
Some real ups and downs.
Yeah, like it's like, I think the lighting and the costumes in this, they're not bad. But I think the matte paintings, and I love matte paintings, like for the backgrounds, they are terrible. And the acting is like wooden at best. But lighting and costumes, I'm like, I'm actually kind of surprised how not bad they are.
Oh, well, why don't we get into it then? Here's the IMDb summary for episodes 1 and 2, The Future of Law Enforcement. RoboCop is back to provide justice to Delta City. While investigating the murders of several homeless people, he uncovers some of the city's darker secrets.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a like synopsis for a show, you'd really want to mention stealing brains.
Yeah, and I don't know if it finds the city's darker secrets. I mean, it doesn't seem... That seems pretty specific.
It's one dark secret.
But it does begin with an in-world news broadcast called Media Break. I was really a big fan of the co-host of Media Break, Rocky Crenshaw, with her gigantic hair. And they kept letting her co-host come. Like, throughout the episode, they keep going back to this news broadcast. And Rocky Crenshaw is just not using the rest of them. And she looks fantastic. I loved Rocky Crenshaw.
I was happy to see that they used this as a device, like the original RoboCop. And I think they kept it in for RoboCop 2. I think they might have dropped the ads for the third movie. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. But, like, that was in kind of, you know, in-world style. And I'm glad they kind of kept it in this movie. I don't know if it's nearly as fun as we've... I shouldn't say I don't know. It's not nearly as fun. Just like the whole show is kind of missing something. I can't tell exactly what it is. Maybe it's just not having Paul Verhoeven direct it. It's missing, you know, some sort of je ne sais quoi. But I do like that they kept the these newscasts, and they do slowly kind of give you a bit of information about what's happening in terms of these crimes that we're going to learn about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it starts off reporting on the evil corporation, OCP. What's OCP stand for, Jordan?
Omni Consumer Products.
Oh, you got it right off the bat. I love it.
I just couldn't remember poor Nancy Allen. I feel bad now.
And OCP has invented a new technology called a Metronet, and it will automate the city's infrastructure, which I thought was funny because I'm just like, oh, this is just smart city technology we have today. Like, this is just like tech we have today.
I thought the exact same thing. Doesn't it feel a little bit like something like Google would do, you know, come into a town and say, hey, guys, we're going to create a little neighborhood for you and it's going to be great. Oh, by the way, we're just going to take all the information, though, from everyone.
Yeah, yeah. But not Toronto. Toronto's going to stand up to them and fight for their rights to let other developers take their data and their information and not tell them about it.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it cuts to a pretty fun commercial for a talk show, which I don't know if this was part of the original one, but it's sort of a Jerry Springer style show called What's On Your Mind.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. This was new. They had a couple. They had this at it as a kid show, too. That was pretty funny.
Hosted by a character named Umberto Ortega, played by Canadian character actor. I'm a fan of his, Patrick McKenna.
Mm-hmm. There's a ton of recognizable Canadian faces if you are someone who grew up in Canada, specifically probably in the 80s and 90s, or if for some reason you would have watched these shows and not being Canadian. But yeah, there's a bunch of faces you pop up like, oh yeah, here's that guy, Red Green.
Yeah, yeah, he's got a great mustache. I think he might be on Stargate 2, perhaps. I think he's done a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah, he's had a long career.
You know I know him best from Traitors, though.
Traitors was one of those shows I just turned off whenever time it came on the TV as a kid.
We've talked about it many times. Loved it. And then, of course, the running gag is sort of throughout the thing. They always cut away to commercials, sometimes to this talk show. It keeps coming back. And I don't want to go into it every time it cuts back. But I think they're pretty effectively used because the commercials seem to be placed at the beginning or end of actual commercial breaks around the show. So you'd actually be coming out of a commercial into what is a fake commercial on the show, which I thought was a pretty well like placed bit of commercial to use the commercials in that way. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how sure how many of the commercials you remember though, Jordan, but there was a one for child services. Like I think the city's child services department was running a fundraiser.
Yeah, it was a way to hint at what was going to be happening with the little girl character that we're going to meet later in the show.
But there was a good one. I'm sure you remember this one. The cartoon for Commander Cash.
That's right. I actually thought most of these were pretty good. And that one was funny, though. Yeah, it's like, look, they went out of their way to animate a commercial for this pilot. Like, well done, guys.
No, for sure. The premise of the commercial, I guess, is a superhero takes a family who wants to fight crime to the mall because having a strong economy will fight crime, will empower us to fight crime. That's, I think, the premise.
RoboCop had a very anti-corporate underlying message to the movie, and that's in this as well, the sort of idea that these corporations shouldn't be making decisions for citizens, and when they do, it's going to be worse for people. And I think that's probably going to be a theme that runs through the show. Although I'll make one argument, and I'd be happy to be proven wrong as we go through the show, but Omni Consumer Products in the movies felt like a really evil corporation. I don't know if they're evil in this as much as like stupid. It seems like they're like kind of like, oops, we hired some sort of company that does something bad for us. Oopsie, we didn't know. You know, that's the sense I got. And maybe I'm wrong. Did you feel that way? Or did you feel like they were just nefarious in what they were doing?
They're definitely letting the CEO off the hook in this. They're like, bad apples are amongst us, but it's not our fault.
Right. Yeah. I thought the same thing.
we're just dumb and greedy. It's not our fault evil happens.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. That's what I mean. It's like a very fine line they're kind of running. They're like, yeah, he's dumb, so he doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah, he's complicit, but, you know, come on.
At any rate, this sort of like in-world TV show, the media report, the TV news report, cuts in with a breaking news story. William Ray Pudface Morgan has taken a retirement home hostage. And this is kind of where we transition from the like in-world TV broadcast into the show itself. They kind of like lead us into what the actual show looks like.
Yeah, it's like the hostage situation. This guy, Pudface. It's Pudface, right?
Pudface.
Yeah, and Pudface, they've implied, I think he says later, like he looks the way he does. He sort of looks like someone who's got, he's kind of melted, but he has a huge nose for some reason. And they've implied that RoboCop had something to do with this. I don't know if it was supposed to be the guy from the first movie. He gets thrown into like toxic waste, because I don't know how it is, because he gets hit with a car and explodes. But it's the only one I could think of that would have made sense in canon. But maybe there's other adventures we haven't seen about where RoboCop also poured acid on someone. So anyways, Pudface is angry. He wants RoboCop for revenge.
They do say that RoboCop arrested him 5 years ago and his face was disfigured during the arrest, but are clear to point out, not RoboCop's fault. Not RoboCop's fault.
It's just like Omni, OCP. They're just like, hey, look, we know all this stuff happens, but it's not our fault. Everyone agree?
I love the prosthetics for this. You're right, the melting face is great. He looks like a Dick Tracy villain from the Warren Beatty Dick Tracy movies. It looks like they just took a costume from them.
Yeah, so he wants RoboCop for revenge. RoboCop shows up in great, you know, opening fashion, pulls up in his car. You know it's RoboCop. You're like, Robo, Robo. And then he just like, right in the line of fire, he apparently parks his car, and the guy just shoots a bazooka at him, blows up his car.
I know, it's so funny. And then RoboCop just gets out like nothing happened.
he's like, yeah, no big deal. And I'm like, RoboCop, that was a big expensive car. Why did you just not park somewhere else?
I did have a question going back to Pudface very quickly, Jordan.
No, we could talk about Pudface all day.
Throughout the episode, they keep referencing, he says it, some other people sort of note it, the idea that Pudface, if he were to sneeze, something bad would happen. But they never pay off that. He never sneezes.
That's why it's funny they mention how, because he has such a long nose. And I guess the joke is the structure of his face is so weak at this point because of the trauma it suffered that his nose would fall off. Is that the joke?
Well, they just keep teasing, like, it's going to happen. You're going to see this guy sneeze and something very funny is going to happen. Because a couple times he's like, oh, almost sneeze. And someone's like, you better not sneeze, Pudface. But it just, like, never goes anywhere.
I have a feeling he's going to come back because they make sure not to kill him as a character. Also, this is like a PG TV
Jordan,
show.
They make sure not to kill anyone.
Yeah, it's a PG TV show. And I'll mention what we're going to see with RoboCop, too. RoboCop does something in this a couple times that he didn't do in the movies, which is instead of just like coming and like shooting people, because of course the movies are incredibly violent, a la why you'd only watch it in your friend's basement while his parents were having a divorce, is RoboCop like throws what I guess are like some sort of a bomb, some sort of explosive device that he then will shoot. And he does it a couple times this, where he like throws a thing, it sticks to a wall, then he shoots it, it explodes as a way to like blow open doors and stuff, and I'm assuming also as a way to like blow people out of the way. And I think he does it on this. Does he put it on a ledge and then blow Pudface off the ledge? Is it something like that, right?
I think that's the end of this movie.
Oh, it's the end of this. Oh, but he does it a few times along the way. He has these little like devices.
Yeah. I mean, we'll quickly see, like, RoboCop pretty much charges in, and he just meets, like, cackling goons. Like, they're laughing like they've escaped the insane asylum, and he'll just, like, look around. They're firing at him. He'll just be like, I will now take out my gun, and you're thinking he's going to shoot them, and he's like, now allow me to shoot this chandelier. Oh, let me shoot the legs off this bookcase so it falls on him.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why do you have a gun?
Well, it's the funny thing of trying to translate a very violent rated R movie to a kid friendly PG, if not G, I think this is probably PG TV show, which like, yeah, well, RoboCop only uses a gun, so it's like, well, he just shoots things around.
Yeah,
like it's not his fault.
He starts
his fault.
Rube Goldberg machine around them using a gun.
That's right.
Anyway, RoboCop like shoots his way non-lethally through the retirement home until he gets to Pudface. Pudface has strapped the retirees in with, like, whatever, explosives. And he's holding two detonators in his hands. He's like, "You'll never get me, RoboCop." And the RoboCop just shoots both the detonators out of his hands. And I was like, this is where you need a dead man switch. This is a big mistake, Pudface. Big mistake.
Well, I got the sense that Pudface, despite probably being a recurring villain, is not the smartest guy.
It does not appear that way.
And don't even get him started about sneezing.
And that's basically how it begins, is we kind of see RoboCop in action take down a really cartoonish villain. And, you know, we made fun of it. It's pretty bad. It's pretty cheesy. But in some ways, actually, I think it's a pretty effective opening for the show. You get the in-world newscasts, the parody commercials. You get this weird Dick Tracy goons. And it really sets the tone. It's like, this is what you're going to get from this show.
I agree. That is something it does well, because you know what the world is. Everything you need to know, it happens. Again, I think everything looks better than I thought it was going to. I would say the pacing as we get through it starts to drag a little bit, and it's a lot of like scene that don't really connect as well as you would hope. But yes, you know what the world is, you know who the characters are, and you get the tone right off the bat. And I think for the most part, the tone is pretty consistent. Like, this is not the movie. So if you think it's going to be that, it's just not. It's a like a photocopy version of it.
Now change the channel now.
Yeah.
But after sort of this opening, the plot is sort of kicks in for the episode, what's going to be. And we get sort of set up at the OCP office, where we see kind of how the inner workings of the evil corporation, which I'm sure you noticed, Jordan, also Bascom's office from Tech War.
It's funny to see something shot. This is going to be shot in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And you'll see the same things you see in all these shows. You're just like, oh, this office eventually just got bought by Bascom in the future.
I assume the evil corporation and the boys is also in that building.
That's right. It probably is.
And we meet an OCP executive who has hired a mad scientist named Dr. Cray Z-Milardo.
Was that his name?
They introduce him as Cray Milardo, and very late in the episode, they pull up his file in the police database, and it shows his full name, and it says Cray Z-Milardo.
You know what's funny? I wrote down Dr. Crane. But maybe it's just because I was getting, I was thinking of Batman.
Nah, could be. No, this is Dr. Crazy Milardo, sir.
I got it.
Anyway, he's building Metronet to run Delta City and eventually the world. And he basically wants to, like, he's kind of like this guy who's like, machines can run everything better. And once they do, I'll have control over it. And a woman at the building, a secretary, a woman named Powers, who becomes important to the episode, she like asks him if he's like Hitler, and he's just like, Hitler's an amateur. And I'm just like, okie dokie, I guess he's the bad guy.
It's played by a Canadian actress, Andrea Roth. She's very, very young in this, obviously. But it's Godwin's law, isn't it? Where any sort of argument, someone mentions Hitler. That's what I thought of when I saw that. I'm like, oh, Hitler? All right, now.
Right out the gate.
I was like, I'd watch what you call them. They might, I don't know, steal your brain later on.
I will say, though, this, because there's a whole sequence, the executive's showing the doctor around, getting him set up. He can't wait to set up this new technology to help him grow in the company. His secretary is not quite into it. It's so weird. Like, as they're walking into a room, the executive is mad at his secretary for, like, calling out Dr. Milardo's ways. And as they walk into the room, he subtly punches her in the kidneys.
I guess it was just to show he was evil, but I think we already knew that, right?
Yeah, it was just so funny. It's kind of that way, you know, where your underling talks when they're not supposed to, and you shoot them like a dirty look to tell them they're in trouble later. But he just punches her in the kidneys instead.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny when you have stuff like that is fine. You're like, don't shoot anyone with a gun. But you have this woman just punched it for no reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And anyway, what we come to learn is the OCP is hosting the annual Shareware Expo, a term I have not heard in decades, shareware.
Luke, I'm glad you said that. I thought the exact same thing. Do you remember back in the day when you get like a video game, but you'd be able to play, like, I don't know, the first level of a video game on a computer because it was a shareware game, because the idea being you're going to, like, try it, I guess, and then maybe buy it later on?
Yeah, you can pass Wolfenstein to your friends.
It is so funny. It's such a timestamp.
At any rate, Dr. Milardo and this executive have been tasked with getting Metronet operational for the expo as a way to, like, let the CEO look like a bigwig at it, and to, like, you know, everyone gets what they want, basically. And I'm going to touch on something here. It's another weird aside, kind of like the sneezing with Dr. Or with Pudface, is in this sort of opening sequence where we're kind of seeing the whole plot set up, like what the stakes are for all the evil people. There's a weird aside where the secretary walks up to Dr. Millardo during the presentation to give him some papers. I don't know, I guess for him to read or something. And she trips over nothing. That way in a TV show where you need someone to like fall into somebody, but there's no reason they would. She trips over nothing, lands on Dr. Millardo, and he starts freaking out like he doesn't like to be touched, starts spraying himself with disinfectant. And I'm just like, oh, this is going to come back. Never comes back.
I don't even remember that.
They make such a big deal out of it. I was just like, what is happening?
Anyways, I mean, there's probably more examples of this, of weird things that were dropped off from the original script. But the important thing is, what's his name? Dr. Crazy?
Dr. Crazy Millardo.
His little thing, Neurobrain. Have we called it Neurobrain yet?
Yeah, it's got a lot in it. It's called Metronet. It's called Neurobrain. It's called a whole bunch of things.
Well, Neurobrain is going to run Metronet. It's just, it's the major brain, as it were, that will run this system.
I see.
Yeah, yeah.
So many names.
But see, because that's to my earlier point of OCB kind of being like, just this like befuddled, dumb company. They have this thing. They're like, hey, we want an app or a program or something that's able to run all the lights and subways and everything in the system. And they're like, yeah, we'll have this thing called, what is it called? Metronet. Yeah, Metronet. And he's like, yeah, cool. I'll use my thing, Neurobrain, that will run it. They're like, no more questions.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a setup. We kind of know what's happening now. And finally, we get to go see where RoboCop works at the police station. And we meet a character named Sergeant Stanley Parks, who... Is that a joke about Vancouver?
Maybe it is. I didn't really catch it.
Well, Stanley Park is the big park in Vancouver that it's just like most famous for.
I guess so. But played by, again, Canadian actor Blue Mankuma.
Yeah, yeah. From Forever Night, season 3. So this went out of business and he just moved on to Forever Night.
Oh, and I should mention Richard Eden, who plays RoboCop in this. He was in one episode of Forever Night. It was the episode Dying for Fame, but I couldn't remember which episode that was.
Did we watch it?
Yeah, maybe we didn't. Dying for Fame. Someone dies for fame. That's all I know.
Was it a cop who wanted to be famous and became a RoboCop?
Yeah, that was the episode. It was a crossover.
Right. Anyway, we see the police station. We meet kind of Sergeant Stanley Parks, who I guess is sort of the chief character of the show. Mm-hmm. And he's immediately forced to deal with a precocious orphan named Gadget, who I guess her motivation is she wants to live at the police station.
I mean, we mentioned it. This is, what were those kids called? Super Scouts. This is the Super Scouts for Galactica 1980. It's a kid's show. There's not enough for kids to grab on, so RoboCop's not enough of a character, I guess, so we'll have a kid character they can relate to. So here she is, Gadget.
Yes, she's introduced. We get to see that RoboCop, we meet him. He's just getting some tweaks done. They're like, good news, RoboCop, you're getting a new car for the TV series. I'm like, why do I need this information?
Well, it's because his car blew up.
And then he has a quick flashback remembering his family. And this is kind of when his partner, Lisa Madigan, as you said, I guess, who's replacing the other partner, comes in. She's about to make detective. And RoboCop's like, I'm sure you'll make detective because you discovered my real identity. And I was like, what? Is that what happened in the movies? She like discovered RoboCop's real identity, but she's not in the movies?
Well, that's the thing. It's the same character. They just changed the name.
Okay, so she did, in another alternate universe, discover it. Okay.
By the way, I have to say, Luke, spot on RoboCop. I would love for you to keep doing that RoboCop. It's really good.
It's me, RoboCop.
No, it's gotten worse. You're thinking about it too much.
Anyway, you're right. We get back. This is kind of like everyone, all the police are in place. Like, we kind of know who all the good characters are now from our trip to the police station. And and we sort of get a little further push on kind of the plot of it, in that Dr. Millardo, he's building this Metronet with your what you said, the neutronic brain or whatever it's called. And the big reveal is, to make it work, it's part computer, but also part organic. So he's been having homeless people killed and having their brains taken and put in this machine. And they've killed 12 people so far, and the brains, they just won't work with the computers so far.
So the plot for RoboCop 2 is they're making a new RoboCop again, similar to in the first movie. You know, he was one of various versions of a robotic police officer. And in the new movie, OCP is still creating, trying to have a new version of something. And the person who comes up with it is like, well, we need like a human brain to run this thing. So they are building these robots, and what they actually do, for reasons I can't remember, is they're taking drug addicts and they're taking their brains and putting them into the robots. And what ends up happening is the robots are addicted to drugs. So after I watched this, I realized, oh, that version of the movie, RoboCop 2, was this script, but how many versions down the line, I'm not sure. But it was like the same idea. Someone was like, stealing brains. That's the point. There's new brains happening. But instead of it going into an actual robotic body similar to RoboCop, in this, it's more just the brain's information. You're hooking up a brain to a supercomputer.
I guess, I mean, this is not that. Yeah, so RoboCop is basically a brain in a robot. They're putting a brain in a computer. I hope every episode is like Omni's like, we're inventing the iPhone. Each one has a human brain in it.
That's basically what they're thinking. I'm like, there's got to be another way around this, guys.
But in order to procure all these brains, the OCP executive who's working with Dr. Milardo has hired a racist youth gang called the Dogtown Boys to obtain the brains for him. And it's led to rumors of a serial killer on the streets. This whole thing with this, like, child gang is insane. They're so racist.
I like them because they look like they look just like the Foot Clan in the first Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's exactly like that. Like, it's the least, like, scary gang until they start talking and telling you their politics.
That's right. Yeah, it's like they just look like kids with, like, bandanas around their elbows. And they're like, anyways, shouldn't white people be running things? You're like, oh, I think I walked into the wrong room.
At any rate, what happens is they go out, they get another brain, and of course our orphan child Gadget catches the whole crime in action. So now she has information for the police.
I don't know why she was there, but she has the information. It's one of those things where it's like, you see she's actually valuable. She's like, guys, I saw what happened, and no one takes her seriously because she's a child. But then obviously by the end of the movie, they'll be like, RoboCop will be like, wait a minute, I remember when Gadget told me that thing.
Well, that's just it. Apparently Gadget, because she wants to live at the police station or something, comes in and lies about crimes all the time. So Sergeant Park doesn't believe her, flat out calls her a liar, and then puts her in electronic finger cuffs.
It's great.
Is that in the movies? Do they have electronic finger cuffs instead of handcuffs?
No, this is something I think they just came up with. It was a genius idea for the show.
Weird finger trap. I was so weird. Anyway, one of my favorite moments of it is he catches this little girl. He's like, we're sending you to family services where orphans belong. And he, like, looks around the police station, and there's just cops everywhere. They're all walking around, and he's like, they all look busy. Who should I send? And he looks over, he's like, RoboCop, take this orphan to the orphanage. I was just like, RoboCop, he's the best assignment here.
I know. You have one. He's the most specialized police officer you have. You're like, just do this quick errand for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And anyway, so RoboCop's driving her to the orphanage. Gadget tells RoboCop what he saw, and RoboCop runs his lie detector program, which immediately tells him she's telling the truth. And I was just like, okay, well, I guess RoboCop's not being utilized well at all.
But he doesn't really do much with that. He's just like, anyways, that's interesting. She told me the truth. I'm still taking you to the orphanage.
Yeah, thanks for that information about the serial killer. Enjoy the orphanage. But he drops her off there. The orphanage, the family services, the city family services is also clearly evil. We see the woman who runs it making a child cry so that she can get more donations for a TV commercial. Like, we see pretty quickly, it's like, everybody's evil, got it.
Yeah, yeah.
But RoboCop is there, and he sees his wife, the wife who thinks he's dead.
It's his ex-wife.
It's his account. Is it ex-wife? I mean, they didn't get divorced. He just died.
Yeah, well, they're not married, so I think it's ex-wife. Yeah, it's like he sees his ex-wife, then he's like, memories. Memories.
It's my favorite part because he starts having flashbacks again. There's this thing where they constantly have flashbacks, occasionally with clips from the original movie, which is weird.
Yeah.
But they're showing these flashbacks and they're cutting back to RoboCop's face. And his, like, he's just standing there slack-jawed. His, like, mouth is just hanging open as his memories. I was like, what is happening here?
Well, to be fair to the actor who's playing RoboCop, and I have to say, does it do a terrible job with what must be a very difficult character to play, because you're a robot. You don't do much. You don't have any, you can't emote anything. You have to talk in that funny voice.
The only emotions you can show are on your jaw.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's like, and he has to emote that he is having a memory. It's like, I don't know. I'm not an actor. I don't know how you do that normally, but I'm assuming you have a few more options than just like your lips. So it's like he just has to kind of stand there.
Just drop your jaw as low as you can, like you're seeing the crane. Oh. Anyway,
Richard Eaton, I should say, the actor.
Yes, yes, it's very funny. It's you know, I think I agree with you though. Like, he's got, you know, what options does he have? He's like, you're having a flashback. He's like, okay, I guess I'm surprised.
Yeah, and they're like, no, RoboCop, you're happy. It's your birthday. Same face. RoboCop, the worst news you've ever had. Same face. RoboCop, you just pooped yourself. Same face.
I mean, he has no emotions, I guess. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But what we, the audience, learn is that RoboCop's maybe ex-wife is at family services to ask if her runaway son has dropped by.
They've sort of implied, but I didn't really catch this till, I didn't put it together till later in the episode. So what they've sort of implied is, because he's no longer in the picture and this child doesn't have a father, the son has gone a little bit wayward and has got into some trouble, and we're going to know he's kind of got somewhat involved with the Dogtown boys. I guess that's how I kind of took it. That's what's implied, that things are not going so well for the family. I'm going to assume so, that RoboCop can eventually have some sort of new relationship with his son later on in the series, but maybe I'm reading into it too much.
It seems to be that's the implication, but yeah, you're exactly right. It turns out RoboCop's son did go by family services, and of course, just like when Gadget witnessed that murder by being under a car for no reason, we see that she is also in a room where the evil woman who runs family services is calling her boyfriend, the OCP executive, and being like, hey, remember how I sold that kid to the Dogtown boys for you? Well, the mother showed up looking for him.
I wonder how much you get for selling a kid.
I don't think you got very much. I mean, I think it was the promise of future returns.
Right.
I do like, though, they tease it in this scene that they're going to get this couple, like they're getting hot and heavy on the phone. They're like, later we'll do some sexercise. And then halfway through the TV movie, they show us what sexercise is. And it's just two people on like ellipticals or like on standing bikes. And they're just wearing leather. And they're just riding bikes. I was just like, what is happening
here? I wasn't sure what the joke was there, because that was like back from a commercial break or something like that. It shows them and you're like, I was like, it was shot in a way like it was, I think it was like a sideways angle or something. So you're like, are they having sex? And then the camera kind of like ratchets around. You're like, yeah, they're both exercising beside each other. And I was like, but what's the joke?
But in leather.
But what's the joke?
That's what sexercise is, I guess.
Yeah.
They're in fetish wear.
There was a lot of stuff I thought like landed more than I thought, and that was one I was like, guys, this is stupid.
Anyway, well, this is sort of going on. Officer Madigan, she's kind of gone rogue. She's not a detective yet, but she's treating herself like a detective already. She's going to investigate those missing people because I guess nobody else is, so this random beat cop's going to do it. And of course, she finds some chess pieces from the last homeless guy who went missing.
Did we say that he was a master chess master? So that's why he had chess pieces on him?
They don't say that till much later. And you don't, when he's abducted, you don't see the chess pieces.
No, you do. They fall out of his pocket.
Oh, okay. I was so confused. She found these chess pieces.
I love, though, the idea that like you're like, hey, you're really into chess. Well, you'd have chess pieces on you. It's like, does he have a board? No, just a couple of random pieces, the ones he likes.
Yeah, I have no idea. And she finds a vial of paralytic used by doctors to paralyze people, and a poster for the Dogtown Boys recruitment. The implication being the street gang, the Dogtown Boys hang up posters around town with their phone number on it saying, do you hate minorities? Call this phone number and join our gang. And she just like runs a trace on the phone number in the database in her car. And they're like, here's the warehouse they live in. And she's like, well, I guess I'll drive over there.
What I liked about this scene was it felt like something out of like a video game where you're like, you walk to a room and you need to like find information. And you like look around, you click, you're like, vial, that's information. Chess pieces, that's information. Click on the wall. Poster, that's information. Guess I'll leave the room now with everything I need. It's just, it was so like, okay, that's convenient.
It is very much like the Ninja Turtles movie, like everyone's chanting and the leader comes out and he's got his own, like he steps out and he's got a slogan and he yells to them, he's like, somebody broke the square, and then everyone chants back, make the square whole. I was like, is this supposed to be a joke?
Make the square whole. That's, you know what's funny, I wrote that down for what's real. I forgot to say it, of course, and I didn't remember who said it, because I have what's real, and I wrote, make the square hole.
It was so weird. Anyway, what we see is the gang is, they're like, you know what's cool? Racism. We should all do racism together. It'll be fun. And RoboCop's kid's there, and he's just like, you know what, you guys? I hate racism. I don't want to be in this gang.
Well, I'm going to assume for RoboCop Juniors, Robo Juniors, for his benefit, that it hadn't come up yet. Up to this point, it was just like arcade games and like pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, he'd been having fun up till now, and he's like, wait, this isn't for me. Yeah. And just as he's quitting the gang and they're all getting mad at him, Madigan busts in. Everybody, you know, so dumb. She busts in with her gun. She's like, everybody freeze. Everybody runs away. Like, she doesn't catch anybody.
Yeah, what was her plan? I thought the same thing. It's like, there's like, let's say, conservative estimate, 45, 50 kids. You're going to catch maybe two.
But what she does do is she changes her gun setting from lethal to tag. And then shoots RoboCop Jr. in the butt like 7 times.
Yeah. It's like a thing where like later on we finally see him in a wheelchair. They're like, yeah, he was tagged too many times. He can't walk anymore.
I was just thinking, what if she missed the button for lethal to tag and she just lit him up?
Yeah. But again, they have to make it a little PG, so the guns have to have these lower settings, you know?
Yeah. Why do they even have lethal? They should just not even have the setting for the show. But while she's in the warehouse, she does discover one of the brainless victims under the floor. And so she's like, she's found a clue to the case. And all I kept thinking is like, it must stink so bad in there if they just have put rotting corpses under the floor they're hanging out in. That's not what scared RoboCop Jr. away, though. He's like, does it smell awful in here? Absolutely. But that's okay. Racism, though, that's a problem.
You reached an interesting point, though, that at this point in the show, we're watching fake Lewis. I can't remember what her name is. Madigan. Anyways, she's out kind of doing all this stuff. My assumption is the show is called RoboCop. So I would guess that they have to have her doing this other stuff because it's real pain getting him in the costume all the time and having to, it's probably a lot slower to film and stuff. So you need another character to come and do all this stuff. Because like you could easily had RoboCop go into, you know, bust up the Dogtown boys and find the chess pieces and all this sort of stuff. I mean, obviously you need her to do something as well, but I don't know, like, what is he as our main character doing all this time? He's just sitting around.
He's got to drive orphans to orphanages.
That's true.
Anyway, at the OCP, the new brain they've gotten, it immediately breaks. And Dr. Milardo, I've never seen a character whine so hard. He's just whining so much about brains. I was like, this character's so weird and unlikable. But that is the point. And he wants to get a younger brain, one less damaged by life. And so they just murder the executive secretary Powers and steal her brain instead.
But I should say, you missed one thing that was important after.
Did I?
Detective Madigan tagged the kid. Is they go to the morgue where RoboCop is, and she mentions that this person that we found the brain's removed, and RoboCop's like, oh, don't worry about it. Everyone knows the last memory that you've had is stored on your eyeball, and that's still there.
Jordan, I didn't forget it. That's literally my next note. It's right in his eyeball.
Oh, yeah. It's right in his eyeball.
Very, very much like the film Wild Wild West. If you look at the back of someone's retina, the last image they saw is there. And RoboCop can zoom in, I guess, with his robot eyes, take a picture of the retina. It's not very clear. Yeah. So he walks up to a computer and just jams a metal spike into it?
Well, RoboCop in the original movie, instead of like thumb drives, they use, for some reason, they have these like, the information is collected on this like spike thing. And so RoboCop has one just like handy that he like puts into for computer information. Really, the movie is only used because it's like, oh, that looks like a real weapon. And later on, of course, he'll stab someone in the neck with it. But yes, it's consistent with the movie, so I'll give him that.
Okay, good. So the Wolverine-style single claw that jams out of his arm into a computer is actually his interface.
Yes, it's a USB.
And he uses the computer to enhance the photo, which is very funny. He's just like, enhance. And he sees Dr. Milardo.
Let me just say, I love in things where computers have to use computers, because you would assume RoboCop is more advanced than the computer system they're using. Just like in Star Trek, when Data is using a computer, I'm like, Data, just use your brain. You don't need to go to the computer and look anything up. Where it's like, it's the same thing here. It's like, why would RoboCop need to do that? He must be more advanced. The computer can't walk around and shoot people with darts.
It is very funny because, you know, it's not like he's looking up information he might not have his own data banks. He's literally just using it for, I guess, like the CPU. He just like needs a little more power.
He ran out of memory.
Anyway, he sees this Dr. Milardo, and of course, because I guess Dr. Milardo is a super genius, he's set up some sort of Google alert that if these police ever like look up his file, he'll find out first, I guess. I don't, 'cause he immediately knows the police are looking into him.
Yeah.
And he calls the OCP exec and he's like, "We're in trouble. Police are looking into me. RoboCop's on the case." And the exec drives over to the prison, which I believe is called the Henry Ford Center for the Morally Challenged.
Is that right? Is that what they called it?
Yeah, yeah. And then he bails out Pudface somehow. I'm not sure how. He just goes in there and says, "I want Pudface." And the prison's like, Okay, have him.
They just need him out for some reason because he's the most effective villain for fighting RoboCop. Yeah, they have some sort of like, "We got transfer orders." And they're like, "Yeah, checks out to us."
Yeah, it's fine. And when RoboCop shows up at the OCP to arrest Dr. Milardo, they're kind of ready and they put their plan into action, which is a two-step plan that makes no sense to me. Any step of it, only one step of it makes sense. The first step doesn't make sense to me, is when RoboCop arrests Dr. Milardo, Dr. Milardo turns on the recording function of security cameras and then like flails around like a child acting like he's being hit. And RoboCop's like standing like 3 feet from him. He's like, "RoboCop, stop hitting me. Please, RoboCop, you're hurting me." And I was just like, oh, so is the plan that they'll take the security footage of this and then like deep fake it so it looks like RoboCop abused him? And then about 30 seconds later, a news program showing the footage, and it's not doctored at all. It's just the doctor like flailing around like 3 feet from RoboCop being like, "Don't hit me, RoboCop. Ow, it hurts." I was like, what is this? What is happening?
I know. I think it had more to do with how badly blocked this was, because when you see the other angle from the security camera, you're like, oh, he clearly is just doing that to himself. Whereas I'm like, I don't know why they just didn't have him stand 1 foot closer and it'd be like, oh, well, if you look at this angle and you cut it at the right moment after a supposed hit happened, maybe you would think RoboCop abused him. But yeah, it just looks like RoboCop standing there. They're like, "RoboCop, is he abusing people?" I'm like, no, the guy's like, looks like he's having like an epileptic fit beside him.
Yeah, yeah, it was very funny. I just assumed they'd like, he's a computer genius, he'll just fake it to make it look like, nope, just released it exactly as is.
But you're right, that's step one. But what I like is step two, it's like, that's the needle. Step two is the sledgehammer.
Yeah, so good. As RoboCop leaves the building with him, a limousine pulls up, Pudface pops out the sunroof and uses a Cobra assault cannon to shoot a hole straight through RoboCop and kill him. He's dead. They kill RoboCop.
Yeah, to be fair, the first time he also was a good shot because he blew up RoboCop's car. This time, yeah, he kills RoboCop. That's it.
End of the episode. I love it. You can see right through RoboCop's chest out the other side. I'm like, huh, look at that.
And they grab the professor, who had still been arrested.
Yeah, I don't know. Dr. Milano is off the hook now. The RoboCop's dead, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's basically it. RoboCop's been killed. They released the video to the news. And now they're like, you see a news report. They're like, "RoboCop is dead. Also disgraced." Okay, so just like.
Yeah. Officer accused of police brutality, dead.
I guess the idea here is that a little later we'll see that the police department's like, well, we could fix him if OCP would come around and do the do their maintenance on it because the warranty is still good. And they're just like, we're not going to fix him. He's an abusive officer. Like, it's a way to stop OCP from coming by to fix him. I think that's kind of why that is all structured that way.
Well, they also mentioned how expensive it is. I'm like, yeah, I assume anytime RoboCop breaks, it's expensive.
They don't mass manufacture those parts. You got to kind of machine them yourself.
Exactly. Like, RoboCop, you broke off your finger. Do you know how much that costs?
At any rate, at this point, everything's going well for the villains. The Shareware Expo kicks off. They're showing off their new Metronet, which I thought was hilarious. They're showing it off by blacking out the city. I was just like, seems extreme, but okay.
Well, you know it works. I mean, if you're at a Shareware conference, you're like, whoa, I think I'll buy the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And as it's sort of wrapping up, Dr. Milardo's happy. The test is good. The exec's happy. The test is good. The CEO of OCP is happy. It's good. And Dr. Milardo's watching a security camera footage of people who attended the conference on an elevator. And the people on the elevator are, for whatever reason, shit-talking Dr. Milardo. They're just like, remember that Dr. Milardo guy? He's stupid. I don't like him. And Dr. Milardo's like, oh, yeah? Metronet, drop the elevator they're on to the ground and murder them, and they die.
Yeah, because what I like is that, like, we already know he's evil. He's created this evil program to do clearly evil things, but it takes him it's not even operational yet, and he's already abusing it. He's just like, he's like, yeah, I don't like the way the thing these people said about me. Dead. I'm like, you're going to get caught so quick, man.
It's very funny. And then he strolls into the CEO of OCP's office, and he's just like, hey, the test worked. Aren't you happy? And he's like, I am. And he's like, well, here's my real plan. Now that I run Metronet, I actually control your company. So sign it over to me. I'm in charge of the company now. Just sign the paperwork. And to the CEO's credit, he's just like, I understand you've just killed a bunch of people, but I'm not signing that contract. I'm just going to use the stairs from now on.
Yeah, that's right. He does say, yeah. Oh, and by the way, he gives him 36 hours. He's like, I'll give you 36 hours, which I thought was like, that's good. He's giving him at least a little bit of time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, to put up the pressure, Milardo tries to kill the board of directors in the room, which is very funny. He turns on the fire suppression system. They all run to the elevator. And the CEO's like, no, don't use the elevator.
Yeah.
But before he can kill them, it turns out Secretary Power's brain that's in the computer has also become a computer ghost.
Yeah. So there's, after creating his system, there's a weird byproduct you didn't know, which is, I'm going to guess, they don't say this, but I'm going to guess because of the soul or some sort of consciousness that has stayed is now like a computer ghost, and how that is manifest is she sort of like is like digitally created, sort of like see-through-y, like a ghost.
Yeah, she's like a hologram or something.
Yeah, yeah. But did you see the one part where the scientist, and he's discussing with someone else that they had to kill the secretary, and he's like, it was a real shame we had to do it because she was pretty hot. That was what he was upset about. Not that he had to kill someone. It was like, she was pretty attractive, so that's a shame. She had a nice looking body.
Oh, that comes up quite a few, because as the computer ghost comes to life here, she stops him from killing the board of directors. They survive. And then the first thing she says is, she's just like, why did you murder me, Dr. Milardo? My body was looking good. Very little cellulite. She starts talking about her own body and what a good body
That's right.
she had.
I forgot.
And then after she's like, you murdered me and I'm mad. She's like, where's my body, though? Can you put me back in? And he's like, what? No, I murdered your body, remember? And she's like, you murdered my body? I was like, You just said you were murdered.
It takes a little while. It is. We should say, the whole point of this really is to say that, obviously, at the end of this, there is now going to be this computer program with this holographic person that I'm assuming is going to be handy for RoboCop anytime he needs something looked up, is what my assumption will be for this character. But what we have right now is that you have this conflicting morals of this scientist who's bad and this former secretary who's now a digital ghost who is trying to stop him, who in essence is the program as well.
Yes, yes. And I mean, that's the conflict here now. He doesn't have control over his own Metronet because the digital ghost, or, you know, as they call them in Australia, computer ghosts, it is in control and he can't run what he wants. So he decides, he's like, I'm going to put a virus into the system to purge her consciousness out of it. So the brain will still work, but the computer ghost will be gone. And I'm just paraphrasing over this. There's like three scenes about this where it goes on for so long, but like the entire thing is, in the end, is just like, gonna purge your brain with a virus, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
At the police station, Sergeant Parks and Officer Madigan are like sad. RoboCop's not coming back on. They're never gonna get their RoboCop back. And Madigan's just like, hey, maybe we should get back to looking into all those missing people, huh? Like, no one's working on that case at all. And the sergeant remembers Gadget saying something about it. So he calls Gadget at the family services department. And Gadget's just like, hey, come get me. There's a problem here. The Dogtown boys are involved. And Madigan's like, oh, I'm so confused by this part. Like, because Officer Parker's like, I need to go get Gadget because she knows about something. And then Madigan's like, I have to go talk to the CEO of OCP. And there's like a sequence where she just barges into his office. And the security's like, stop, you can't go in there. And the CEO is just like, no, no, a police officer can always walk into my office whenever they want to tell me anything. And I guess the point of this is like, she's just like, Dr. Milardo's evil and we think he's a murderer. And it's just like, the CEO's like, oh, good, I also don't like him and I need someone to get him out of my life. So let's team up and get RoboCop operational. And then like, Madigan's like, I got to go track down that kid I shot in the butt with Tracer. Like, so many weird separate plots happen like simultaneously. I couldn't track it. It was so weird.
It's really just a way to tie everything up together. You're like, you know, RoboCop needs to be back online. So they're like, Anyways, Gadget says this happened, and I know you're getting threatened, so we should probably bring RoboCop back online. He's like, yeah, I agree. Let's do it. But there's a little snag in the plan for no reason.
Because and then the evil executive finds out RoboCop's coming back online. So after they've fixed him, but he's like having a nap, he walks in and like electrocutes him with 30 million Zoidengaus of electricity. And so when
that's a lot.
RoboCop wakes up, he has amnesia and can't solve the case now. He's like, I have amnesia. I am RoboCop.
My note was, they start him up. He's not all right.
But thankfully, the computer ghost is able to break out of the computers at OCP. That she, for some reason, she can't leave until this one moment where she's like, oh, maybe if I push, like she's like trapped in a digital cage, but she's able to escape now. And when she does, she like appears as a computer ghost in the police station. And she's just like, the CEO is there. And she's like, hi, CEO. And he's just like, hi, computer ghost. And he's like, I'm just going to climb into RoboCop's body now and fix his brain. And she just climbs into RoboCop and like we cut to like her in this digital landscape. She's like, oh, here's the problem. She like boops it and RoboCop's alive again. Like he has his memories back.
She just changes a fuse. She's just in there. She's just like, you know, flips a breaker. She's like, ah, that's what it was.
So bizarre. It's all so bizarre now. Everything's just so bizarre now. Anyway... Dr. Merlardo and the evil executive know that the police are going to be coming for them now. I don't entirely know why, but I guess because they're about to execute their evil plan, they suspect, like, chaos. They're going to, like, cause chaos in the city, so the police will come and try to stop them or something. So they team the Dogtown boys up with Pudface to defend the offices. Like, there's this whole, like, setup. Like that. It's so weird.
Well, what it is they're like, well, we know they're going to come, so we need security. Who has the best security? Even though... Really, like, they're really running things. They theoretically are now running OCP. They could get the police, who OCP own, to, like,
exactly.
Protect the building.
Exactly.
The
Metronet
runs
them.
No, you know what we should do? We should just get the dog boys. They're like, you know what? Politics aside, they're pretty solid in terms of defending buildings. So they get them and Pudface. And I would just say, like, but, like, Pudface, wouldn't you just walk over and flick him in the nose? That's what I would do.
I don't. Who knows what'll happen? We'll never find out. So that's happening at OCP. Sergeant Parks is going to get Gadget from Family Services, but when he gets there, she's run away, and he, like, turns around. There's a TV on at Family Services, and on the TV, it's because Gadget has gone to the Umberto Ortego show and is breaking the news about Family Services abuses on the show, interrupting... Yeah. Is it a transphobic joke that's currently happening during the show? I'm not sure. Some sort of bad joke is happening that she interrupts. I was just like, I don't know what's happening here.
I don't remember what it was. I mean, we don't need to get into it, but...
It's just like he has some actor on who's acting very feminine, and he's like berating him for acting feminine, and then the orphan shows up.
Oh, see, I didn't even really pay attention. I just thought it was so funny that the sergeant goes to the orphanage and he's like, where is she? And they're like, oh yeah, she's on the TV right now. I was like, okay, I'll allow it.
Yeah, it's so weird. And then while that's happening, Madigan is using the tracking bullets in the kid's butt to find RoboCop Jr. And then she finds him and she's like, oh, hey, aren't you RoboCop Jr.? And he's like, you know my dad? And he's like, yep, I used to. He's dead, right?
Yeah, she's like, you didn't say RoboCop is my dad. She's like, no, not that.
So both police officers separately have now picked up small children, and they're like, let's quickly drive them to the war zone that's breaking out at OCP right now. Let's take both these kids to the war zone as quickly as we can.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, where RoboCop finally gets to shine. Now that his brain has been fixed by a computer ghost, he goes to the OCP and non-lethally shoots his way through all the Dogtown boys, including their special attackers, a guy on rollerblades, and motorcycle punks.
Yeah, it's great. They start just, like, shooting RoboCop. He's like, nah. And then, like, yeah, the guy on roller skates come by with a machine gun, which I don't know how effective that is. It seems like those two things don't go that well together.
I believe RoboCop just punches him.
That's right. Yeah, lots of guys on bikes. At one point, he, like, knocks out the leader, and then he, like, just pushes a car. He's like, I'm going in, guys. I'm RoboCop.
Pudface pops up. He's now got a gigantic anti-aircraft gun that he's shooting at RoboCop. But RoboCop, I think this is what you're remembering, is he throws a small explosive device and then shoots it, and then that causes Pudface to flip over his head over heels, and he's like, "You got me again, RoboCop."
But it has that old effect you don't see in TV anymore, where they used to do the big explosions in TV that didn't quite look as good as in the movies, which it has. It's more like sparks than an explosion. So he kind of goes, and it's almost like fireworks are going off. It looked great.
And RoboCop goes upstairs. He turns off the computer virus. The computer ghost pops up and starts flirting with him, which I guess they're setting up a relationship between computer ghost and RoboCop for the future.
Well, they're both computers, you know?
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. She's like, "Where were men like you when I was alive?" I was like emotionless automatons.
She's like, "What are you thinking of right now?" He's like, "Memories of my family."
And if, you know, just to show the other characters have some agency in the show, which I appreciate, there's some agency given to the other characters here. Computer Ghost catches Dr. Milardo and traps him in an elevator, making it go up and down forever, making him ill. Like, she's the one. RoboCop doesn't stop him. Computer Ghost does. And then Officer Madigan, she gets taken hostage by the evil executive. But then instead of being a damsel in distress, she turns the tables on him and paralyzes him with the needle he was holding. And he's now like a brain frozen, trapped in a motionless body for the rest of his life.
I thought the actor did a good job of having to hold that pose, though, because he's like actually frozen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, the show kind of ends, and they make sure to wrap it up by having Sergeant Parks bend over to the orphan girl, Gadget, and say, "I guess I'm adopting you now, and you live at the police station just like you wanted." And she's like, "Yay."
Yeah, he's like, "I'm adopting you, Gadget, for reasons." And then RoboCop's old wife shows up. I think it's he's talking to Matt again, fake Lewis, and he's like, "I can't be there for her because I'm Robo." And you're like, "Oh, sorry, RoboCop."
I know. I like that too. He's like, "I refuse to see my family. Let's go."
They're like, "All right, I guess this will continue."
And that's the setup where I'm like, I can't wait to watch double kid sidekicks go around with Computer Ghost and RoboCop.
I am going to assume that his son is going to only not going to be there every episode. Gadget's there guaranteed every episode. But I think his son, I'm hoping they don't just bring the family back every episode for him to like longingly look at.
Hopefully just every two episodes.
Yeah, every other episode's fine with me.
Well, Jordan, do you have any final notes on RoboCop that we didn't cover? Anything you were forgetting?
I feel like some effort was given. Like, I do think that the people who bought this, they're trying to at least have this be in the spirit of RoboCop, and they're trying to do a version of the movie. I do think they're a little bit handcuffed by the limitations of TV, of obviously the special effects they can do with the budgets and obviously the violence and things they can show on TV. But, like, it's missing something, and I don't know if I quite can put my finger on it. Like, obviously, it's not that great, but it's not bad. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Like, look, the pacing is slow. It takes a long time to get going, and when it does, it's, like, more complicated than it needs to be. But, yeah, it's not as bad as I thought, and I feel like they nailed more than they missed.
Well, then you might as well rate it, Jordan. You seem like you're ready to.
I'm going to give it a very conservative 6 out of 10 for the pilot. I think probably, I know this was broken up into two episodes. We watched it as one, as the, like, the, you know, hour and a half sort of thing. I think it's okay. I'm hoping that it kind of keeps the fun aspects and maybe somewhere along the way kind of just finds its own footing and becomes its own thing. I'm going to assume it's not, but I thought it was okay for a pilot.
Yeah, I think when I originally watched it, I was going to give it a 6.5, but rethinking about it, I think I'm going to drop it down to a 6 as well. What I like about it is when it's closer to like a live action cartoon or something, when it's like really pushing the like goofiness and like, I mean, I know it's not going to be the movie, and it's obviously, I'm not even sure I've watched the whole movie, but I understand the movie is like a pretty aggressive and not mean-spirited, but like it's an ugly parody of American culture and like consumerism and that kind of thing. Like that's what it's aiming for. So it's like really over the top, really big, really gross at times. And it can never do that. So yeah. It can't. So when it was kind of just being a cartoon, I was like, I like Pudface. I like the makeup on Pudface. I like the weird commercials they were throwing in. But when I'm like recapping like what happened at like the 45 minute mark on, it's just like such a confusing mess. I'm just like, how do we wrap this up and like get all the puzzle pieces? It was difficult at that point.
Well, it's definitely a mixed bag, right? Like some of it's working, some of it's not working. But I think, kind of to your point, it'll be interesting to see in subsequent episodes what they sort of lean into. You're right. Like, are they going to try to make it this satire of action movies and American consumerism? Or are they going to make it, it's going to be a kid show adventure of the week where every time it's a different villain who's kind of got a funny face and RoboCop has to, you know, push over a chair to beat them. Which is
yeah,
probably
it's going to be that one, Jordan. It's going to be that one.
It's going to be that.
Well, I think that about wraps it up. So, listener, thank you for joining us. And if you have any thoughts on RoboCop, I don't know what they'd be. But you can email us, I guess. The email is continued.
Pudface comments.
Send us your Pudface fan art.
I would love that.
The email is continuumdrag@gmail.com. And on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, we will have some clips from the show so you can kind of get a sense of RoboCop for yourself. I don't remember what I'm going to pull yet, but probably Pudface, mostly Pudface.
It's just all Pudface. That's all we do.
All Pudface, all the time.
Yeah.
But that wraps it up. So, listener, thank you for joining us. And Jordan, I'll see you next week.
I'll see you then.
Can't get enough Continuum Drag? Commission a bonus episode for charity.
Want us to watch an episode we missed after using the escape pod or during a best of run? No problem.
Is there an episode of a series we've never watched or a TV movie you want us to cover? You got it.
Wish we'd comment on your favorite movie, content, or other weird media? Sure, why not?
All you have to do is make a donation to one of the charities selected by past guests on our website.
We suggest a donation of $50 per television hour of content we're watching, but everyone's means are different, so give what you can.
Get all the details about bonus episodes for charity on our website, continuumdrag.podbean.com, or follow the links in our social media profiles.
Continuum Drag is recorded in Ontario, Canada, and Seoul, South Korea. Theme music by James Rick Seidler, produced by Jordan Dulick and Luke Black. Special thanks to Aaron Hughes.